Let's get after it. Friday morning, the weekend is here. The long weekend is here with Sports Radio TSN 1200. We are so glad you're along for this 20th day of May 2022. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. And, well, the weather forecast is improving for the long weekend. The closer we got, the better it got. Simmer's weather app was perhaps more correct than my weather app and certainly more correct than Environment Canada. So here's the good news on the weather. For today, it will be a cloudy start. We should see some sunshine later on in the day today, but warmer. Today's high, 28 degrees. 28, is that right? 28 degrees. Wow. Okay. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 27. Showers in the forecast and cooler for Sunday, 19 degrees, and then partly sunny for holiday Monday and a high of 18. As you wake up this morning, we are sitting at 8 degrees as we say hello, good morning, happy Friday, happy long weekend. Happy good weather app to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
Good, JR. Fridays always feel good, but a little long weekend, a little May 2-4 kicking things off. So got a little extra energy here. I've just taken a couple of sips of coffee. Feel like I'm already a cup deep. So okay. I think that's a good sign for a Friday show.
Okay, good. So yeah. Simmer's got a Friday vibe, which is very important.
Yeah,
yes.
Very much so.
And he's got the well-caffeinated, which is also
very
important.
How you doing? How you feeling? What's going on?
I'm feeling good. Thank you.
Do we need to have a little intervention or something here? What's happening?
I'm going to have to be Johnny Handyman bit this afternoon.
Okay. What?
Yeah. So my in-laws have a place. It's a long story, but they have a place in the Eastern Townships.
Yeah. Which is gorgeous, right?
Yes. Oh. It's the area. The house is an older house, but it's a nice place to go. Yeah. It's only old. But they close it down. I actually went down in... I think it was November to close, so they turn all the water
with your father-in-law,
off.
Right?
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Drove through a raging rainstorm to go down there. Anyway, we're heading there actually this afternoon to go back, and we'll be opening it up. So it hasn't been open since I was there in, I think, early November.
Okay.
But there is a process of getting all the water back on and everything. And my father-in-law is now getting a bit older, and he's trying to sort of pass the torch to myself.
Oh boy!
And
there's
and
nobody else.
My wife.
Oh, you treat that like a hot potato.
Sister's
just
husband,
give that a
who's actually, him and I are about even. I think when it comes to handymanship, right?
Oh, okay.
But this is
okay.
One of these. Like, it's one of these.
Are you looking to compete for this, or are you just kind of looking to kind of pass it the other way?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like Bill, that's my brother-in-law. I always say, like, Bill's got way more time than I do. I'm so busy. But Bill's not going this weekend. I am. So it's now my father-in-law will be there.
Yeah.
So he'll be there to hold my hand. And he's written everything down as far as this is the order you do. Like, it is a process.
Yeah.
It doesn't take forever, but it's a process. And if you do anything wrong, right, then you can really screw something up. So there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
At the same time, because, you know, when you're the son-in-law, you don't want to let the father-in-law down. You know, he's got an eye on you. It's like, well, my wife and I have been married for a long time. It's not like he's going to kick me out of the family.
You're no longer on probation.
No, I don't think so.
You're in a good spot.
I think I'm okay. I think I'm in the will. Or at least my wife is in the will. Yeah, so, no worries there.
So do you think the father-in-law is a little bit disappointed with what son-in-law is arriving this weekend?
I don't say just again, I think Bill and I are probably on an probably pretty
Yeah,
even.
But there's also...
What?
There's the handyman-ness, all right, on who's more effective. There's also relationship-wise, who's got the better relationship here with the
I'd say we're about even. I'd say we're even.
I don't know. Jerry, you go into a draft. Like, the prospects are never even. Like, he's got his own little depth chart there.
Probably,
who's had more grandkids? Who's giving him more?
We're up 3-1 in that
Then
one.
You're up.
Okay. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. Really?
You lead.
And
okay.
This is probably a house that he built by hand with just a handsaw.
Well, it's about 150
probably
years old.
Probably brought the wood with a horse.
He has done a lot of, like, little things to it over the years. It is a bit of his pride and joy, for sure. But we've come along. I do have to say this. My father-in-law and myself have come a long way in our relationship, because when I first used to, when I was first dating my now wife, I used to call, and he is honestly, like, the nicest person in the world.
Yeah.
But when you're dating his daughter,
he
has a very gruff demeanor on the phone.
Oh, okay.
So back in the day, kids, we didn't have things called texting.
Yeah.
You actually had to communicate through a telephone. Yeah. And so you'd dial the phone, and you always, it was one of those ones where you hoped he didn't pick up.
Oh.
You hoped actually, I hoped my, at that point, girlfriend picked it up. But when he picked it up, it was always a, I go, my wife's name is Andrea. Hi, is Andrea there? No.
That was it. There was ever a no, like she's out, or a no, but I'll get her to call you back.
Can you please let her know that John called?
There may be a possibility you were using your FM radio voice. You thought you were a telemarketer. but and to the place, though, I'll say, because we had cottages back in the day, and there weren't much for. I enjoy the first opening of the cottage and the smell. Some people don't. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. This is not a cottage. It's an old house in tiny little village in the eastern townships.
Oh, so you're not on the water.
Not on the water, no.
Oh, so you got more of a dacha going, eh? Kind of a Russian style.
Well,
no, in Russia, outside the city, JR, you don't have any lakes, so you just go build this.
Okay.
It's a place to plant a garden and just pound vodka.
Correct.
To be out of the city.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. An overlook. And actually, across the road is a very unique structure. It's a 12-sided barn.
Ooh, wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. It was built in like the middle of the 1800s.
Yeah.
So tourist attraction.
Yeah, how far from Sherbrooke are we talking?
It's probably about an hour. It's actually west of Sherbrooke. So
okay,
it's
south of
Montreal, west of Sherbrooke. Yeah. South of Saint-Jean, for people that may know that.
Yeah. So you're down on, I'm blanking on the lake where Pat Burns used to be.
No, meant for Magog.
Okay,
that's west, or that's east as well.
Okay, okay.
So how much work do you have to do before you get to some fun stuff?
It's only about an hour. It's only about an hour's
work. That's it?
Yeah, it's not. I'm not, like I said.
Oh, you sound like complaining at the get-go.
But there can be some May weekends, Jerry, you'd be heading out where she'd be a little on the chilly side,
exactly.
Though, right? So this is going to, looks like, I'm assuming that way, that you're going to be getting pretty warm weather as well.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. The weather won't be too much different than today. But the key is that he and I will be going down earlier this afternoon because my wife is working. So she'll be coming with my mother-in-law later because we got to get down there when it's still light
Driving down with the father-in-law.
Yep. How's his hearing and everything? He's good for
good.
The chats?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. He's not.
Who's driving?
I'll end up driving. For sure I'll end up. Now, I'll be driving his car because my wife will have our car.
It's a long drive.
Yeah.
All right. You're driving his car.
Correct.
You're going to be like 18 again and just full of nerves.
No.
Two hands on the wheel.
I'd say.
Don't touch. He's in charge of the radio.
Yeah,
I'd
say after, I've had about a 25-year relationship with him.
I don't know.
There's no nerves any longer, no.
Yeah, that's
I'm strong. You know what?
His station wagon.
No, you know what?
Wood paneling.
I've decided I'm in the good books. Yeah. I've decided
you should be.
I'm good to go. Yeah. At this 25 years in, I'm good to go.
You are full of confidence.
Yeah. I am.
Something's going to come crashing down here.
I'm going to screw up turning the water on.
You're
going to
break something.
So I got to go down into the sort of dungeons of the basement, and I got to get the water thing pumped and primed and whatever.
They've got some great food stands and different places to stop there, JR, right?
Oh, like the area down there, for anybody that's ever traveled down there, like there's wineries down there.
A tremendous amount of agriculture, right?
Absolutely beautiful, and a lot of apples. Like that area is big for apples.
Nice.
Not at this time of year, of course. So, really tremendous. And,
have a great time with the father-in-law.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Sounds stress-free.
It will be as soon as everything gets turned on and nothing blows up. The rest of the weekend will be stress-free.
Just pop a cold pint, okay?
And the best thing they added a few. This would be probably about 5 years ago. Is they added the not a satellite, but they added the satellite. So now there's TV down there because it used to be basically rabbit ears. Like we're in kind of a bit of the middle of nowhere. So it was rabbit ears to get CFCF in Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd get WCAX in Burlington, Vermont.
Nice.
Two television. And sometimes if the weather was right, you'd get a TV station out of Plattsburgh, New York.
Oh.
That's the extent of
it.
Didn't
you fix the cable system last year?
Or was
that at their house? Like you did a little adjustment on something that I thought got you.
If
some
it involves fixing, Jair had nothing to do with it.
No. It was something electronic.
It was the PVR.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and that was my daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
you're going
to be able to fire up the game tonight then, right?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Okay. 10:30 tilt.
10:30, though. Like, I'm going to be tired.
Well, the father-in-law will be in bed.
They'll all be in bed. Yeah,
but if we feel on a Friday night, a long weekend, though, Jair, I think you'll have enough juice.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're looking at if it goes right to the right to the buzzer, we're looking at 1:30.
You'll fire up a nap, and the idea you don't have to work until Tuesday.
Yeah.
No, I think you'd be good to go.
All good. Okay. Well, there's my long weekend taken care of. We didn't even get to yours or all the good listeners. We do know that today being a Friday, it's a wrench-throwing Friday. Anything in the world of sports, the world in general, that has bothered you the last 7 days, let's toss a wrench at it. Feel good going into the long holiday weekend. Text them to us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. We got lots to get to sports-wise, including how about who predicted Tampa would be 2-0 a especially two up after going on the road in the Atlantic Division Finals. We'll go through that. St. Louis is even their series with Colorado. So we'll go through all the NHL stuff with, including some off-ice. We'll shot across the bow from Seabass at our friend Butchie. What's going on there, Seabass? So we got that, and we'll get you set for what will be a busy sports weekend, especially locally if you want to take some stuff in. So that's all straight ahead here on a Friday morning. We're glad you're with us on Sports Radio TSN 1200. With you, Dave Poulin is our TSN Hockey Insider. Will join us coming up after 8. We'll get his thoughts on the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll get into it in just a second. And we're also going to be joined later on this morning, in fact, 7:45, by the general manager of the Ottawa Red Blacks. Back in business, Sean Burke will join us as they get set for day 2 of training camp. Now that we have a, well, I guess still at this point, a tentative CBA, still waiting to be fully ratified, but back to business for the Red Blacks. Yesterday afternoon, they'll be back on the practice field today at 8:30 this morning. And in fact, they're on the field every day this long weekend. So if you're looking for something to do, you want to check it out. It's open to the public. 8:30 today, 10 o'clock tomorrow. This is in the morning, obviously. Sunday again, 8:30, and then holiday Monday, 10 o'clock. All right. You want to go out and check out the Red Blacks, go to practice, get on the sunny side of the stands, and absolutely free, by the way, to make your way in. So something to do this long weekend if you're looking.
Yeah, I think always cool to check out. I've been to the old Redskins camp back in the day and the Ravens, and, man, I love watching a little football, seeing all the stuff that they're kind of doing. Even went out to the Patriots training camp one year, and it was just neat to see how they break up into different things and different groups and working on all kinds of different things.
Were you fanboying at the were they Mpats at that point or not? They hadn't won any championships.
No, they had one. So I was in Rhode Island at the time, and so everybody was, I was fully onto the bandwagon at that point. And just the athleticism, the size of the guys. I even like to. One of the things there is especially now with all the betting going on, I go to the CFL games early, and I check out the athletes, and I like to see what they're looking like. And when I see Edmonton come to town, they got a lot of big, strong athletes.
A lot of big Canadian farmers there on the offensive line.
I don't know if they're where they're from, but they're some big boys.
Okay.
So it is just fun to check out.
Eskimos, by the way, or sorry, the Elks were the worst team in the CFL last week.
Well, this is a couple of years ago. I didn't go last year. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put a prick in your balloon there, but on your
all good, all good,
yes,
all good.
Yes, yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So when you went to Patriots camp, and at that point they were your did you fanboy it over Tom Brady? You know, did you go running out on the field? And,
Tom,
wherefore art thou, Tom?
You know what? When I went to, I was invited to the Redskins and the Ravens camp. So that was a little different because we were kind of.
So you weren't invited to the Patriots camp?
No, I went as a fan. This is different. This is just on your free time. So I got about as close to Tom Brady as you would during a game. They have a little side practice field. There were thousands of people there. So a little different feeling. But it was still cool. Just fun to watch all of it. But yeah, there wasn't any. I think everybody, like anything else you'd expect, JR, when you go, that 90% of the jerseys are going to be Tom Brady.
Yes, indeed. All right, got a quick text at 12-1200. Again, when you text us, standard messaging rates apply. Josh writes, JR, I'd gladly switch weekends with you. My wife has me booked for a murder mystery dinner. I'd rather crawl around in the basement you're going to be in and get wet at your father-in-law's house. So
those things where you got to act the part. I did that way back. I wasn't feeling it. You don't feel it with anybody else around you. And as Hammer played that song, Jerry, I just had a visual of you just playing some hip and you and father-in-law just sharing a big bone, just driving to the western.
Steak. Okay. Bone. That was maybe a tomahawk.
That was a visual I had. I like that song. That is it. Would you say that is that the coolest song that the Hip have?
It's one of many. That's your cottage song.
That energy in that song right there. I'm just pitching. Now, are you going music on the drive or is it just a conversation?
No, there won't be. My father-in-law's not a big conversationalist.
Okay, so that
we'll
so
do some chatting from time to time.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, it's about 2 hours. Door to door is about 2 hours and 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. So won't be a constant flow of.
Do you like to pick up radio stations as you go around different places?
Bit. As we get closer to Montreal, I'll see what TSN 690, see if they're broadcasting anything good this afternoon.
This sounds like a lot of awkward silence.
Fridays, you might get some Pierre Maguire. That's when he usually slides on there.
On Saturday?
No, Fridays.
Oh, on Friday.
Oh, he's going tomorrow.
No, I'm going today.
Sorry, I got the day.
Wow, Pierre Maguire.
Yeah, but that was
what?
Is he making appearances on 690?
No, I've heard him on the Fridays. Like last year when he first, just before he took the job, it was a Friday.
Well, he did one special appearance.
Yeah, but there were a couple. Well, I thought it was a couple of times.
I think Pierre has gone dark.
Okay.
I stand to be corrected. I don't want to speak out of turn.
No, for sure.
Summer holidays.
I'd be very interested to hear if he was on the radio somewhere, hear what he had to say. Yeah. All right, it is a wrench throwing Friday. Can I throw the first wrench of the day? Okay, because it's every day this week as I drove home, I thought to myself, I got to remember on Friday I want to throw a wrench. Okay, anybody that lives in the west end of the city, if you ever travel west, I've mentioned this before, but I don't think I've officially thrown a wrench at it before. This godforsaken, these frickin' buildings that they're building between Moody Drive and Kanata in front of the old equestrian park there.
That's been a burn in your saddle.
Oh my God! Like, who designed these things? Somebody told me they're going to be where they wash the trains when the LRT comes out, because that's going to be the end of the LRT.
If you drive fast enough, those trains should wash themselves.
Yeah, well, they're the ugliest things I've ever seen in my life. And I every time I complain about it to my wife, she goes, "Well, maybe by the time they're finished, maybe they'll put some windows in them." Or they'll make them a different color. Like, they're just terrible. And like, what I one of the things I like about as I'm driving home to Kanata every day is I like that feeling that once you get west of Bayshore, there's a little bit of green space there, and it's pleasant to the eye.
It is.
And now I've got these eyesores of built. I don't know who designed them. I don't know who approved them, but they're the ugliest gosh darn things I've ever seen in my life, and they're going to be part of the eye pollution I'm going to have to deal with as long as I'm driving there every day.
Trademark that, JR, eye pollution.
It is. It's terrible. And anybody who lives in the West End, I don't know, maybe other people feel differently, and you guys have driven to the rink probably right? So
I had no idea what they were until you told me it was a car wash for trains.
I believe that's what it is, but they're just terrible. And they're taking up the entire vista of the old Wesley Clover. Yeah, of Wesley Clover Parks.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. I don't know who, they could have built it a little further down where it's below where the highway is. But probably can't, but they could have, as far as it being more pleasant to my eye. I needed to get that off my chest, so please throw a wrench at it.
Unbelievable.
Oh, he needed that for sure. Now, I would say one of the better drives as well, guys, is when you're coming out of Kanata, and as you get to kind of the high point there, and you can see the city.
The Moody Hill.
You can see the Gatineau's, you know, and you're like, okay, that's a nice little view. That would be, I would say, probably the best view of the city, right? You get a pretty good one.
It's pretty nice.
Well, I shouldn't say a pretty good one. You get a decent one when you're at Hunt Club, when you're right at the golf course. This is your crossing, Hunt Club.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't really, all you do is, I'm assuming that's one of the higher points as well in Ottawa, but it's not the same view. That coming out of the West End is outstanding.
Well, it is, and especially, there's about two or three weeks in the summer when the sun is just coming up when I'm driving to work just after 5. And it's pretty nice. You got to say. But then now I got this thing down that says I'm driving on. It's going to make me mad again.
That's throwing you off. And we should throw just a wrench of the gas prices. I filled up Mir and Maddie heading to Toronto this morning.
Yep.
I finally did it, and it wasn't completely empty, but it was $1.25. So a little wrench to the gas prices hammer.
No, Hammer, that's a great. I'm impressed that you were able that you picked up on that.
Oh, peeler. No peeler on there. Yeah. Hey?
$125 to fill the tank.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Someone said, "Welcome to Forward Progress." Listen, I'm not against. I'm all for the trains.
It's a couple of shacks.
No. When was the last time you haven't driven out there since the hockey season ends? I'm guessing.
No,
probably.
I've been out there to Kevin Hames' place.
It's very bizarre, though. I am really surprised in the spot and where it is. And hey,
why wouldn't you put some glass in them?
Well, but why would you even put them there?
Why have anything?
And the other thing I don't like when people complain about traffic and construction in the summer. It's like, come on, listen. We got to invest in infrastructure. This is the way it works. But this particular case, JR, that's just bizarre. I think out in old North Manitic, and they're building the old transit system there and the light rail, there's a bunch of open fields there with nothing that you could put whatever you want. If you want to wash your train, you want to store stuff, have it way out there. Why it is in that spot that I agree with. I'm like, wow, that's usually one of the better viewing spots of the little horse farms right there.
Someone just said probably working on the project, said it's actually a maintenance facility. It's not a not a wash.
Okay, well, that's even worse. Yeah. Do your maintenance somewhere else.
Yeah. why in the Greenbelt?
And that system doesn't even need maintenance. Runs itself.
Oh, rinse to that?
It was funny. And we'll get to the hockey in just a second, but we're on a bit of a roll here. Speaking of the trains, okay, so Natalie is my neighbor. You know, I've been driving her. She's working in the bakery right next door.
Yeah, how's that been going?
It's been going great. She works on Wednesday through Sunday, so only drive her Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Do you get some Friday treats like
No treats. No, it's all good. It's all good. Anyway, so she takes she takes public transit home afterward because I usually am going. She works pretty long hours, and I said, so how's it been? How's it going with taking the train? Because you take the train to Tunney's and then it's a bus the rest of the way. And she goes, well, it's working. So that's the bar that is now set for the good citizens of Ottawa as far as their public transit system goes. She's been riding it for 3 weeks and it's worked every day.
Well, that is really a smart probably, you know, that might have been part of the design. You start low and then really there's nothing to complain about because it's working, right? No.
There we go.
Just some steady service.
Yeah. All right, 6:37. Let's get to the hockey from last night. Game two of round two for Tampa, Florida, and St. Louis, Colorado. We'll start in the East, a game that, I think we all agree that Florida probably needed, down one game to none, especially playing at home. Corey Perry got the goal scoring started for Tampa. The Panthers tied it in the second period. It was 1-1. And the Panthers were looking good to get ahead.
Bennett wins the draw. Verhaeghe left circle. Verhaeghe puts it in front. Bennett, save made Vasilevsky. Palat clears.
There you go. That was a big save from Andre Vasilevsky that kept the score tied at one. And this game was very much looking like it was going to sudden death overtime. When?
Across the blue line, right point Kucherov. Kucherov a little pass. Finds a stick of Ruda. Back for Kucherov, right circle. He is checked. Held in Palat, the right point. Find it at Kucherov. Five to go. Kucherov, put it in front. Score! Score!
Unbelievable.
Ross Colton with 0.9 seconds left. Incredible!
What's Dave Maloney and Esmo? There must be a Ranger connection there. Like, is that must have been when they walked into Studio 54. They're like, unbelievable!
Yeah, no. You can hear Espo at the start of that clip grumbling about something and then him piping up. And, of course, that's the call of the Condor of what turned out to be the incredible game-winning goal. They actually rolled back the time a little bit. The official time of the goal was, 3.7 seconds? Anyway, we'll call it 4 seconds.
Enough for a timeout and some specially designed
George Burnett,
play.
George Burnett, Andrew Burnett, coach of the year. 4 second play to tie the game. Yeah, so 4 seconds to go. Tampa scores. Ross Colton, of all people, gets the game winner. They beat Florida 2-1, and now they've gone on the road. They've stolen games 1 and 2, and now they're going home with very much a stranglehold on the series.
Yeah, I think Bruno wanted to get the guys together and ask what the two defensemen were doing behind the net with 3 seconds left, and old Roscoe coming down the pipe. So that hurt, and hey, you watch a game like that, you understand Vasilevsky's the best in the business, although I think the Bob has looked outstanding. So from a Florida standpoint, can't blame that, but at the end of the day, JR, it is the monsters on the blue line, blocking everybody out, pretty much neutralizing Barkov and
the
Huberto.
Shot blocking is incredible.
And on Stamkos, like, honestly, when you watch stuff like that and you see what he's doing, how can you not be impressed? And at the end of the day, for the old Cats, and I'll say this, I mean, I think Claude Giroux has played very well. I can't critique him. He's no threat as far as shooting the puck. But one of the things he was brought in for was to make sure that power play continued along. And, hey, at the end of the day, it has been just an absolute dud and it's killed their energy in a lot in the first couple of games.
Yeah, 0-for-4 power play for Florida last night, 0-for-25 in the playoffs. They were the third-ranked power play in the NHL in the regular season, and they haven't scored one power play goal through, what is that now, 8 games in
incredible.
The Stanley Cup playoffs. I just look at Florida right now, and I'm watching the, and I didn't watch all of Florida Washington, but saw enough of it to get a little bit of a sense of it, and now have watched most of the first two games of this series. They're like a completely and I realize two teams play and it's not just all on the one team that's losing. You know, to credit to Tampa what they're doing, but Florida, I mean, they would in the regular season overwhelm teams with the way that they played. Like it was all on your toes, all forward. We're attacking as five man units. Yeah. They're not doing any of that stuff right now. Like they look like a completely different team.
Yeah.
And they're not, you know, they had one goal in game one. They had one goal last night, which, I mean, Vasilevsky was outstanding, but that was really kind of actually a pretty weak goal. It wasn't like a great play or anything. They're not doing anything offensively, which is crazy to think about. Well, I thought the one thing they would be able to do was score goals.
Well, yeah, I wondered the matchups here, and I wondered, now you're trying to measure and realize, hey, Leafs are a very good team. They were able to kind of shut them down, and you go back to last year with Vegas all of a sudden against Colorado, you just don't know what to expect. And conversely, when Vegas all of a sudden went against Montreal, it was like they were skating in quicksand, and I just posted a little thing there, and they go 7-11, but I posted all 8D. You know, it is quite simply very noticeable. First of all, tactically, nobody is ever, you know, the front of the net's always covered. Their ability to block out, though, and the size that they present with their seven guys, they're a bunch of monsters. And they wore down the Leafs. They've worn down the Florida Panthers. And just really tough to get to the net against that group. They box out as well as anybody in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, and it goes back to kind of the template has been set now for the most part by the teams that have won the Stanley Cup fairly recently is the way that the back end has – and I know Montreal didn't win, but – they got to the Stanley Cup final.
Oh, because
I mean, having size, and not just a couple of guys.
No.
Like there's, I'm trying to think right now of the guys that are dressing regularly for Tampa right now. Right, there's not even what I would call a mid-sized guy.
No,
like, they're all big, big boys. Of course, Victor Hedman being the biggest of all.
Well, you got Bogosian 6'2", Chernak 6'3", Foot 6'4", Hedman 6'6", McDonough 6'1", but he might be the strongest guy on the blue line. And then you're into Root at 6'2 and Sergachev 6'3. It really is so noticeable. And, you know, not that it's anything new, but I think the first, when you watch St. Louis win, you know, just that smothering. And obviously what is different there, JR, is they don't have to sacrifice skill because what Hedman can do, which he is the only one in the business that does it, right? You got a guy that can run your power, but it's almost like Chara when he was in Boston, right? You know, in 2011, when I could have that same guy where sometimes you have to sacrifice a bit of size on the back end. And yeah, it just really is. And the shot blocking, the commitment to want to win for a third time, and just watching Kucherov with point out go next level and just better and better. It's not hard to find our good friend Nick Paul on a nightly basis and the difference he's made on the penalty kill and the size as well.
All right, so 2-0 for Tampa, and that's on the road. All-time NHL playoff series, best of sevens.
Yeah.
Teams that go up 2-0 go on to win 87% of the time. That's as an overall.
Yeah.
I believe it's over 90% when you win the first two on the road. So they're in good shape. Now, typically game three would be tomorrow night back in Tampa, but there's a concert at the Amalie Arena. So they're going actually back-to-back for games three and four. Game three is Sunday afternoon at 1:30, and we'll have the game here on TSN 1200. And then game four goes Monday night. So I don't know. And again, that's
I thought that was US TV. When
there's apparently a concert in Tampa. But, you know, I mean, it's not huge travel either. And back-to-back Sunday afternoon, Monday night is not a big difference from Saturday night to Monday night. But all that to say, Florida's in big, big trouble. I'm not seeing Florida winning 4 out of 5 games. I'm really, especially Vasilevsky appears to be kind of rounding back into form after the first 5 or 6 games against Toronto, in which, the first 6 games, right, he gave up 3 goals or more in every one, and everybody's going, Vasilevsky, not quite the Vasilevsky we know. Well, since game 7 and now through the first 2 games of this series, Andre the Giant is back, it would appear.
Yeah, another reason you shouldn't draft goalies in the first round. And from a Florida perspective, guys, JR, you just got to take it one shift at a time, one period at a time.
Okay, yeah.
Try to win it. But
can't score 2 goals on one shift.
And it becomes so demoralizing with the power play. And I do wonder I'd love to see what the numbers are down the stretch with Giroux, because I know he put up points, but that's one of the things when you make a deal. Who was on that power play slot before he ended up coming in there? And now what do you do to kind of adjust it? Can you make it better? And the only team that I can remember in recent memory that had such a demoralizing power play that ended up winning the Stanley Cup was the 2011 Boston Bruins, where Caberle and that group was just awful, but they somehow found a way. So like I said, man, if you can't do that against Tampa Bay right now, score on the power play, JR, mm-hmm. you're not going to win any hockey games.
No, no. All right, so there we go. Tampa up 2-0. Meanwhile, the West, and I guess it would be the Central Division Championship yeah. Series between St. Louis and Colorado. I was going to go Midwest there for yeah. a second. I don't know why. Yeah. St. Louis and Colorado for Game 2. Of course, Avalanche had dominated Game 1 but still needed overtime but did win it, trying to go up 2-0 before the series heads back to St. Louis. Blues again scored the first goal like they did in Game 1, but then they got the second one as well late in the second period on a 5-on-3 to go up 2-0 going into the third. Landeskog scored for Colorado to make it to 2-1. So, obviously, the next goal is of some importance. Either it's a tie game or the Blues are going to be up by 2. So,
the Blues go to battle and they create a 2-on-1 bringing it up. Perron and Buchnevich. Perron shoots. He scores! David Perron underneath the pad of Kemper. And they're back up by 2.
There you go. And they would add an empty netter after that. 4-1. St. Louis beats Colorado in Denver to even the series at a game apiece. Again, Jordan Binnington, excellent, 30 saves. Didn't have to be as good as he was in Game 1, but still good. And David Perron, how about that? 2 goals last night. He's got 7 Man, now in wow. the playoffs. That's one off the lead held by Jake Guentzel, who's not scoring any more goals in these playoffs. In case you haven't noticed, he's not Pittsburgh's not playing anymore. David Perron, there may be no more underrated goal scorer year after year after year than David Perron, right? He just scores goals every single year.
Yeah.
And he's doing it again in the playoffs this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, and the concussions a few years ago, JR, the game here, it was easy to find him. It's a hockey sense. And you certainly look at from Vegas' standpoint and struggling to score goals and letting him go. And 3 tours of duty in St. Louis, he's been outstanding and is expected under Craig Berube and our good friend Jimmy Montgomery. Made some adjustments tactically, tightened things up, and hey, that's what the playoffs are all about. So good on St. Louis, and you talked about that, and Pooley talked about it, and all of a sudden you feel completely different about that series than you felt after Game 1.
Well, and the big thing for Colorado, we talked about the ghosts for Florida after losing Game 1 at home to Tampa, and you know they lost to Tampa last year. They've always been number 2 in the state of Florida. You know, it's just it's from a mindset point of view, right? It's yeah. like you almost feel defeated after losing one game. And for Colorado, and again, it's 1-1. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but Colorado has and they've been favorites in some of these series, have lost in the second round 3 straight years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and they would have to think now a little bit, tiny bit.
Oh, yeah.
St. Louis coming in there, and it wasn't a lucky win. It was a well-deserved win that St. Louis got last night. It's now 1-1. They've lost home ice advantage as Colorado, and they've got this history now of underachieving in the yeah. second round of the playoffs. And so that's got to enter your mind just because I know that I saw some of the post game
yeah.
and I know that the players and the coaches were being questioned about
yeah,
it.
For
so
sure, for sure.
It's infiltrating their mind a little
yeah.
bit, whether it
yeah.
affects it or not. We'll find out for Game 3.
Well, it's a hump you have to get over. No different than Washington, any team, Tampa. You've had your struggles. You've had your hurdles, times to figure it out. And again, from an Av standpoint, it can't get any better than this. All the pieces are in place. They've done a great job. So, hey, time to buckle up and figure out a way to win this series. The time is nigh.
All right. So Game 3 in that series, that's the only game tomorrow, is tomorrow night at, I believe it's 8 o'clock. So that's the Saturday night hockey game in St. Louis in Colorado for Game 3. Of course, tonight we've got 2 more Game 2s. The early game is Rangers-Carolina with Canes up 1-0. That's an 8 o'clock faceoff. Everything's pushed back an hour. Must be for television reasons, I'm guessing. But 8 o'clock, we'll have that game for you here on TSN 1200. 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock faceoff, Rangers-Carolina. And then very late tonight, the Battle of Alberta, Game 2. And Mike Smith has been given the nod. No huge surprise to be back in the net for the Oilers for Game 2. We're expecting a little bit of a tighter game for Game 2 after the 9-6 debacle in Game 1. But Edmonton and Calgary, 10:30 face-off tonight for Game 2 in that series. What do you think about Mike Smith? No surprise there.
No, not at all, JR. And again, I do have a lot of faith in him. The guy just finds ways. He battles. I believe he'll come back. He'll play better. He'll find a way. And I guess it's a question of what does the game end up looking like from both teams. And I do think they'll settle in. And,
I don't think neither he nor Markstrom can be any worse than they were in game.
No, and as you said, I mean, I'd have more faith in Markstrom based on where he's at in his career. But like I said, with Mike Smith, I'm also respectful. Look at those numbers from round one. I mean, he was outstanding against the LA Kings.
All right, 650. Your thoughts on what you saw last night? Any surprises, especially in the Tampa Bay, Florida side of things? Because I know a lot of people had picked Florida thinking this would be the year. And yeah, not just that they're losing. Like, they're not really even close, to be quite honest with you. So, anyway, thoughts on that? Welcome, Texas, 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. Dave Poulin will join us to talk hockey coming up after 8 o'clock this morning. We'll take a break at 6:50. Continue with your wrenches on this wrench-throwing Friday. Keep those coming as we get you set. It's a long weekend this year with Sports Radio TSN 1200. There you go. There's a Friday vibe right there. Huh?
Absolutely.
6:56. Matt Texan says, Tampa has 7 multiple champion Hall of Famers. Florida is nothing. Maybe with Quenneville, it might have been different. That comes from Matt. You think the coach is making a huge difference, Zimmer?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, the Hall of Fame coach versus Andrew Brunetta. I mean, Bruno's in over his head. Now, would that make all the difference? No, but in a year and a back-to-back tactically? Oh, absolutely. It could help. But I'm also, hey, at the end of the day, the player's got to get it done. I don't know in a power play what I could do differently and the sacrifice and then tactically some of the things. But no, for sure. Would I take Joel Quenneville? Yes. Now, do I think that they're going to be up in the series? No. But for sure, they'd be better a little.
Cam Neely, president of the Boston Bruins, with some interesting comments yesterday regarding, his head coach, Bruce Cassidy, saying, quote, "I think we have to look at making some changes as far as how we play and the way we do some things. I think Bruce is a fantastic coach. I mean, he's brought a lot of success to the organization. I like him as a coach. We'll see where it goes," end quote. Which is maybe the most telling of all the statements from Seabass regarding Bruce Cassidy, who, by the way, has a year left on his contract. Now, Neely went on to say that the future of Bruce Cassidy as coach will be up to general manager Don Sweeney, who doesn't have a contract either at all. Now, they are negotiating one. It's widely expected that that Sweeney will get a contract extension. Do you foresee any scenario in which Bruce Cassidy is not back with the Boston Bruins next season?
I'd be shocked on that, Jared, but he's been there 6 years. Butchie can be a bit of a hard ass. He's a grinder. He has been a little public, Barry Trotz ran his course after 4 years, Jared. So would I ever be shocked? No. Do I think it would be a mistake? Absolutely. Do I look at the lack of talent and who's going to kind of play the blame game? And old Seabass doesn't really have much of a job other than eating. I don't know. It's a, Butchie's one of the best in the business, but everybody runs their course, JR. So I don't see that for where they're at, and I think they've maximized. But I can understand that he is a bit old school, and if the grind becomes a bit much, and also if you were just turning the page, right? If Bergeron was ever to retire, would you end up going a different direction? I think anything's possible, but I would be shocked if he's gone. But do I kind of look at it after 6 years in the National Hockey League and professional sports? No, I'm not. Nothing would surprise me at this point.
Neely's specific issue with the way Bruce Cassidy has coached the team has to do with the power play, apparently. Not happy with the way that the power play is working. For whatever reason, read into what you will. I don't watch the Bruins enough to know. Obviously there's a lot to work with there. You got Bergeron, you got Marchand, you got Pasternak. That's a pretty nice three-way to start with McAvoy in the back end. So. Yeah. But that was the specific issue that he talked about. So we'll wait and see on that. I do know this. If the Bruins decide to move on from Bruce Cassidy, whether it be here in the short term or, somewhere down the road, not too far down the road, there would be a lineup of teams that would be willing to hire him because he's had a lot of success. There hasn't been a Stanley Cup championship, but he got them to a Game 7 of a final. And the Bruins overall have been very consistent in his time as head coach.
Well, he has, and again, another franchise where you've seen a deteriorating roster with the walking out of Krug, with Chara. They've missed on guys like Coyle. You go back to the draft where obviously they really missed, where DeBrus' situation, this has been a one-line hockey team along with McAvoy. They have done an incredible job of developing other defensemen. Rask has ended up retiring, and they're still very competitive. Took Carolina right to the thing. Hey, he is right there, one of the best in the business. He's a difference maker. He has the ability, and the thing in working with Butchie, and he was early in his career, JR, but the thing I also realized, he really knows personnel. Like, he was really involved in some different things we did, talked about some different players. Remember one defenseman he mentioned? I said, come on, Butchie, the feet are too heavy, and it was Seidenberg, who he really liked, and went on to have a nice career. He really has a good eye. So absolutely. And hey, you know, like I said, and I don't even take it personally anymore in a sense of you're somewhere for 6 years. Now, I think this is, you know, typical Boston of pointing the finger in the wrong direction when you look at the talent. But like I said, this is, yeah, he's just flat out. He's one of the best in the business. So like I said, if he becomes available, that's another one of those coaches that people actually open slots up for.
All right. Bruce Cassidy, by the way, should say you'll have to send along our regards. He turns 57 years old today, Simmer.
Ah, nice.
Birthday boy. Yeah. All right, 7:01. We'll take a break. Top of the hour news and sports update. Bring you right up to date on everything, including Stanley Cup playoff wins by the Lightning and the Blues last night. We'll be back, back with hour two. We'll get to more of your wrenches on this Wrench Throwing Friday. If you're into fireworks at all, which I don't know, did it used to be a bigger deal than it is now, going fireworks on the May 2-4 weekend? Anyway, there's at least a couple of spots around the city that you can check out fireworks this weekend. So we'll bring you up to date on that. And we'll have a visit with Red Blacks general manager Sean Burke. Day two of Red Blacks training camp. And, of course, we've now got looks like some labor peace. So I'm sure he's very happy. We'll check in with the Red Blacks GM coming up later on in the next hour. That's all coming up right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.